What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1-300-872-911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846-4CA.
Now, we're going to have a look at these rising sea levels, or this discussion about them up in the Torres Strait. It's an interesting one because, you know, we've had in the past Warren Inch having a look at the situation up there. He said, oh, we've got to get to the land starting to sink, or has been sinking or whatever. We'll get those walls built higher. And then people would say, no, it's rising sea levels because of climate change. And I remember Campbell Newman, when he was Premier of Queensland, coming through. He did an interview in this studio and said, oh, I'm off to the Torres Strait. And if there are people that want to talk about the rising sea levels up there, I'll by all means take on board what they've got to say. When he came back, I interviewed him on air about that matter. It was on in a telephone conversation. I said, well, what information did you get? He said, I went to a neighbourhood meeting, but no one even asked a question about it. And he was scratching his noggin too, because it seemingly was a big matter in the media down here, but up there it wasn't as front and centre by any means as he might have expected. In fact, as he said, not one question. So he was quite confused about the whole matter. So here we go again. Now, it's front and centre at the reading, or the message I've got here reads, Federal Court arrives on country for climate change fight in the Torres Strait. Once again, it's about rising sea levels and the walls not coping with the flooding seawater, etc. Similar to what was being discussed, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever it would be now. So I thought I'd put a call through to a gentleman who has his finger on the pulse with sea level rises. I've talked to him before, but it's quite some time now since I caught up with him, so I thought we'd better get an update on the so-called rising sea levels. Are we perhaps under threat of going underwater here in our CBD? There could be other places, for example, up rivers, up creeks nearby that might be under threat that they mightn't have been 10 years, 20 years ago. I don't know. I've got the gentleman on the line. He's the Professor of Geoscience, College of Science and Engineering at James Cook University. His name is Professor John Knott. John, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Long time no talk.
Yes, it has been, sure.
Good to catch up. John, yeah. It's interesting because there's scientific evidence, of course, of these matters that we need to look at. There's also, you know, the neighbourhood gossip, people saying, oh, it's just a matter of time and people shouldn't be allowed to buy within 10 kilometres of the coast and whatever. And we need to find out what the reality is, where rising sea levels might be affecting us here around Cairns, for example, and could they be totally different in the Torres Strait, given that water fundamentally finds its own level. Can you straighten out some of our views and perhaps misunderstandings on this matter for us?
Sure, I'll give it my best shot. Sea level doesn't rise uniformly around a continental shoreline. So some areas can have higher sea level rise or are expected to have higher sea level rise than other areas. With respect to the Torres Strait, a study that was done a few years ago now, but I still think, maintains its integrity, showed that some of the fastest rising sea levels throughout the whole of the Pacific Ocean, that's the North Pacific and South Pacific, is actually occurring in northeastern Australia, right adjacent to the Torres Strait, and also in the North Pacific around the Philippines. So there, the study concluded that sea levels were rising at about 1 centimetre per year over the last 20 years. And now that's higher than in Cairns. So the global average is around a bit over 3 millimetres per year, but other parts of the world are experiencing up to 1 centimetre of rise per year. So it varies quite a bit, and that's got to do with a whole range of complex factors in the ocean.
Obviously complex. So people have always took for granted that it would rise at a uniform rate. So this is really very interesting information indeed. Let's talk about 1 centimetre a year. Would that apply to Torres Strait, would it?
Well, the projections at the moment are looking like that, yes. I mean, these studies, very credible studies, papers published in Nature, which is the world's leading science journal, you know, which has the most rigorous of reviews process, you know, are coming to that sort of conclusion, yes. So the Torres Strait appears to be one of the areas most affected by sea level rise and an area that needs to be really carefully considered and looked at.
Why would the Torres Strait, and the Philippines for that matter, have a greater incidence, if you like, of sea level rise than other parts of the oceans?
Well, it's got to do with ocean currents. It's got to do with the amount of heat hitting the Earth. I mean, remember, you know, the Torres Strait and then the Philippines are both in the Western Pacific. They're both relatively close to the equator. The equator gets most of the heat from the sun. You know, the poles get the least amount of heat, the equator gets most of the heat, and then the heat is redistributed via ocean currents and by air currents. So they're getting a greater amount of heating there. The winds tend to pile up warm water onto the western side of the Pacific. This particular study took out that factor, you know, the differences in El Nino and the Pacific Decadal Oscillation and those sorts of things. So it really tried to nail down what was going on. And even complex interactions with the Indian Ocean. You know, it really is very, very, very complex and very detailed. But, yeah, it's ocean currents, it's the amount of solar incoming radiation in that particular area. And it seems like the very northeastern part of Australia, right up in the top of Cape York and Torres Strait and southern New Guinea and regions extending out from there, out into the Coral Sea and Pacific Ocean, seem to be a hot spot in our general area.
Now, Cairns obviously is warmer than Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne. Does that mean we would have a greater level of sea rise here in far north Queensland?
Again, not necessarily. I mean, without taking human-caused sea level rise into account here, just for a moment, sea levels are naturally higher in Cairns than they are off Sydney. That is because the water piles up with the southeasterly trade winds. You know, the winds tend to blow across the equator in normal conditions from the east to the west. And the East Australian Current flows from north to south. So the sea levels off Cairns are already higher than they are off Sydney, relative if you were to measure it from the centre of the Earth, not relative to the land. So this is where it gets complicated. But so the water kind of flows downhill from Cairns to Sydney. So already you've got that factor there. And then there can be all sorts of other eddies and factors coming in with currents and things like that. So, you know, there's a whole range of factors and it can be quite variable right around the continental outline.
But our experience here not necessarily related to global warming.
Well, sea level everywhere is rising due to global warming, unless the land is rising itself. So we have to think about sea level rise relative to the land. If the land is stable, which it appears to be off Cairns or in and around Cairns, then sea levels will be rising largely due to anthropogenic warming. If in some parts of the world this land is sinking, then sea level will rise faster. So you've got a combination of both human-induced warming and tectonics, lowering of the land. And likewise, if the land is rising, then sea levels will appear to not be either rising at all or maybe even falling in some places. So tectonics have to be taken into account as well. Mm. And they are. You know, whenever sea level projections are done for a particular locality, all of these factors are taken into account.
Well, let's look at sea level rises here around Cairns, for example, north and south of our city, perhaps. I know when we've had cyclone activity in the past, you've been the first out in the car heading to wherever the emergency was, the crisis was, and you came back with fascinating information. Have you been doing measurements on sea level rises around Cairns recently?
No, I don't do measurements on sea level rise per se. You really need accurate tide gauge measurements, which we do have for our area. And they're basically controlled by the Bureau of Meteorology. So they're the key instruments for measuring sea level rise. And so they collect all of that data and monitor all of that sort of information. I mean, we can view it from time to time and see what's going on. And so the Bureau's now got some really, really accurate sea level tide gauge data or instruments. There's one out on Palm Cove Jetty. People want to walk out there and have a look. You might notice it if you go out there. There's another one in Cardwell off the jetty there. And they're really good at measuring variations in sea level. Also, satellite. We call it satellite altimetry. That is really good for measuring sea level, particularly in the middle of the ocean where we don't have tide gauges. But so we've got some good instrumentation in and around Cairns to be able to take those measurements. Yep.
Are you across some of that data?
Yep, I am across some of that data.
Can you share it with us?
Oh, sure. I mean, it mightn't be the most up-to-date as of today, but, I mean, generally, you know, in the past there's been a... Townsville has looked like it's had a faster sea level rise than Cairns, for example, of around about 4 millimetres per year. Cairns used to be a bit under 2 millimetres per year. So even between Townsville and Cairns, there's been a variation between what we've been seeing. Now, that's not to say that that's going to be the trend for the future. We don't know that because other factors can come into play, particularly if ice sheets start to melt, you know, parts of Antarctica start to melt more rapidly, which, by the way, is some of the latest science is starting to suggest that is the case. All of a sudden, that sort of thing happens. Then we're in a whole new playing field altogether. You know, all of our existing sea level projections are out the window completely. And there's some people starting to get very concerned about that sort of thing too.
But so, 2 mils a year, most people wouldn't have noticed it visually, would they? I mean, it's so tiny.
That's right. At the moment, no, not at the moment. But the rate of sea level rise has been increasing over the last century. And we're expecting to see that over the next century too. So that rate isn't going to remain the same.
Yeah.
So that's another factor. I know this sounds very complicated, and indeed it is very complicated. Yeah.
Where are you going to notice it first, for example? Would you see it in the upper areas of rivers? Would you see it maybe in the headwaters of creeks? Where would you notice it first, do you think?
You'd notice it. Look, I'll give you a good example. Let's say we're driving down McGregor Road from the highway near the university down towards Yorkeys Knob.
Yep.
We're going down the last part where we're just about to hit the road going into Yorkeys Knob, and there's some cane fields there with some tidal creeks. It's areas like that where you'll notice that the high tides are all of a sudden just starting to, you know, there's more high tides reaching slightly higher levels in the landscape over time.
Okay.
You might say, oh, in the past we'd only seen that once or twice a year on the King Tides, but now we're starting to see that area, that patch of cane, for example, getting inundated more regularly. So that'd be the first sort of signs we'd start to see.
Because even in the last 10 or 15 years, we're talking about several centimetres, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's right. And at times when we've had really big spring tides, I have noticed those cane fields starting to get flooded, just on the edges of them.
Yeah.
And in places where the farmer was growing cane, I've noticed they're not growing cane. Now, I'm only talking about a very small area, and there might be other factors that come into play there, but for years I've been driving down that road to Yorkeys Knob, and I always look at that because those tidal creeks there are quite interesting, you know, and they do flood the cane fields on the biggest tides of the year, just slightly, just on the edges.
Yeah. Well, this has been a real eye-opener, John. I really appreciate this update. And from time to time, if it's okay with you, we'll keep our finger on the pulse. Very interesting.
Okay.
Very, very interesting information.
Okay.
I don't know if people will sleep more soundly or not after that expose. I mean, people now be saying, oh, how many more decades am I going to be alive for? Should I build on that block I've got down near the waterfront? It's a bit low. And there's a cane field just next door, and if they're going to go underwater, oh, gee. So that sort of information, obviously, some people say, oh, it's only a couple of centimetres, it's a couple of millimetres a year, which is, what, 5 years or something to be a centimetre. So they'll cast it aside as irrelevant. Others will take, well, I suppose, start doing their mathematics and their long-term planning with probably a greater deal of concentration. Professor John Knott is the Professor of Geoscience, College of Science and Engineering at James Cook University here in Cairns.